this morning I want to share a Mother's Day message. And for some of you in here, you think, well, I'm not a mom. If you're in here and you've ever had a mother, then this message is for you. It includes everybody. I figure all-encompassing. But, you know, again, and you heard in my prayer, mom's job can be tiresome. My mother's job can be hard, unappreciated. But I'm telling you, as I looked back on my life and my mom and the things that she did in my brother and I's lives, I can't thank God enough for the mom that I have. And I'm thankful for that. And that's not always a guarantee. Some of us in this room may have had difficult mothers, may have had absent mothers, maybe didn't have a mom that was around, and that can be hard too. But the reality is God created something unique in moms, something unique to be able to train up their children and to not lose heart. I think about just the years and years and years of moms pouring into their kids. And then later down the road, they finally reap the fruit and the benefit of it. In fact, there's a story of a mom who was putting her son to bed on the evening of his fifth birthday. She was trying to communicate to him that the birthday idea, like the next day he was going to wake up a year older. And she said, "Kevin, this is the last night of your fourth year. Do you understand that? For 1 year, he had displayed four fingers when someone would ask his age. Now he was going to add that thumb. When you go to sleep tonight," his mom said, "you'll still be 4 years old. But do you know how old you will be when you wake up in the morning?" Kevin nodded enthusiastically, added that fifth thumb, and said, "Yes, I'm going to be a handful." Kids can be a handful, can they not? But they can also be such a blessing, can't they? And that's the thing when I was thinking about that this morning, because I've read that story before, and it's so encouraging. But yes, kids can be a handful, but if they're not around, there's such a void, isn't there? When the kids aren't in the house any longer, it's like, where'd everything go? Where'd all the noise go? Where'd all the frustrations go? And I know for some parents, like, they like to see their kids move on. But though they may be a handful, there are opportunities for us to instill in them godly principles, the love of God, the love of family. I love watching families that just love being together, that love to spend time with their parents, love to hang out together. It's such a wonderful thing. And now that my mom has passed away, I mean, I look back at the years that I was away from my mom and dad, and I missed kind of that family time for a long time. And I would encourage all of us, make sure we spend time with moms and dads and family when we can. Mother's Day is the number one day of phone calls that kids make to their parents, to their moms. So if your mom's not here this morning, make sure you call her. It's my little reminder to you. Mothers that make an impact. Again, for years, moms pour into their kids and do the tough things. But the impact you guys make changes people's lives and can really bless the future. Mother's Day is a day to remember and honor moms. For better or for worse, they are our mothers. Abraham Lincoln said it this way: "No one is poor who had a godly mother." And boy, isn't that true. And I would imagine for you this morning, if you're coming here and you're a mother, you have a heart for God. You have a desire for the things of God. And your children will be blessed because of your love for Jesus. Your kids will be blessed because of your walk with God. But you must pour that into your kids and show them. Abraham Lincoln goes on, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have followed me. They have clung to me all my life. All that I am and hope to be, I owe to my mother." Abraham Lincoln, the investment that his mom made. As kids, maybe we don't like to pray. Maybe we don't like to pray before meals. Maybe we don't like the things of God when we're young. But when we get older, we remember those things. When we get older and we just reminisce a bit, we remember those times. Maybe reading the Bible with our families. Maybe spending time praying to each other. Teach your kids the love of God. Teach your kids your love for the word. the love for prayer and the love for dependence on God. Woodrow Wilson in 1914, when he instituted Mother's Day officially, said that this day has been set aside as a time for a public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country. Mother's Day was set aside so that we can spend one day honoring our mom and honoring her well. Isn't that something we should do all the time? So it should be reminded. These holidays that we set aside are great, but we should honor them all the time. You know, my mom wasn't the only mom that instilled things in my life. I can remember growing up on the neighborhood that I was in Rochester, New York. One of my best friends lived a street away, and I was at his house all the time. I loved his mother. She made amazing chocolate pies. And man, did she instill in me my love for chocolate. And so there are other mothers in our lives that also pour into us, not just our own mom. So you're pouring into your kids, you're probably also pouring into your neighbor's kids. Maybe you're that mom that has the neighborhood kids over to your house and love to have fun and pool parties and whatever it is. Those kids will remember those things as the years go by. Anna Jarvis, the daughter of Ann Jarvis, who was the one who instituted Mother's Day back in the early 1900s before Woodrow Wilson put it into an official holiday, her daughter, Anna Jarvis, said this: "A mother is the person who has done more for you than anyone in the world." And that's typically true, isn't it? Moms take care of us. Moms help us to survive. And moms help us when we skin our knees, when we fall off our bikes, when we have heartbreak. It's our moms that we go to. Moms are the ones that bring us comfort. Probably one of the greatest joys of my mother's life was that time later in our lives, as my brother and I got older, when we could sit around the kitchen table and drink a cup of coffee and just talk about life. She loved spending time with her kids. That's the love of a mother. I bring you to 2 Timothy, because here is a story of a man, a godly man, who had a godly family, had a godly mother and a godly grandmother, and for that is the reason we came here. Read with me in verse 1, if you will. It says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, and without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day." Paul was a man of prayer. He was praying for Timothy. "Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Timothy was a godly man because he had a godly mother. In Acts chapter 16, it tells us that Timothy's mother was a Jew, and his father was a Greek. Many believe that his mother was the believer in Jesus Christ. They're not too sure about his father. And that sometimes can happen in a home, in a family, where there's one parent that's become a believer. But we don't get discouraged in those things, because that one person who believes in Jesus Christ can pour into those kids. And for Timothy, it was Lois and Eunice that poured in faith into his life. Paul saw it in the grandmother. Paul saw it in the mother. He also witnessed it in Timothy. And what an opportunity it is for us as parents and as moms this morning to have that heart to pour in faith in Jesus Christ to our kids. Timothy witnessed his mother's faith. He witnessed his grandmother's faith. Certainly, and we'll see later in another scripture, that they taught him the scriptures. They showed him the ways of God. They brought him to a place where he too surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. Moms, if you do anything in this world, and I know God has you do lots of things, but if you do anything in this world, teach your children to have faith in Jesus Christ. Not faith in you, not faith in church, not faith in any person. Faith in the person of Jesus Christ, the God, the Son, and to have that faith of their own. You want your kids to stand in the truth of who Jesus is so that they can lead their friends to Christ, so that they can uphold all the pressures in life and live a godly life, not because mom told me, not because dad told me, but because the Bible tells me, because I have that conviction of the Holy Spirit in my life. Teach them that. How do you teach them that? You don't just tell them do it. You show them how to do it. I think a very godly couple lives their faith out to their kids so that they understand what it means to deal with pressures in life, difficulties in life. Show them those things, include them in those things so that they understand. Let them be a part of those experiences. It says nothing of Timothy's father's faith in the Bible, but it sure does say a lot about the mom's faith. It sure does say that there was enough faith that it passed on to her son. And what a blessing that must have been for her to watch her son grow in the faith. Notice again verse 5. Paul says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith, the genuine faith. This is faith that is real. This is faith that is lived out. It's pure faith. It's not a faith that is a mindset. It's not a faith that you read about in a book that talks about the Bible. It's not just going through the motions and believing by faith. No, it's a genuine faith in Jesus Christ. Do you have the kind of faith in Jesus that you can exercise your faith when life gets a little bit tough? When life throws those curveballs to you, is it your faith that encourages you? It might knock you off your feet for a moment. You might get discouraged. You might get depressed. You might get angry. But faith kicks in and says, I'm going to trust God to help me through whatever this situation is. That's genuine faith. And that's not something you can tell someone you have. That is something that you show someone that you have. Someone that has strong faith is a faith that they see, that you witness and see in their life. It's not a necklace that they wear. It's not a Bible that they carry. But it's the attitude and the character of the person. And Timothy had that. And I love that the Apostle Paul in his prayers remembers the genuine faith of this young man, Timothy. You know, it's funny, now that I've studied in Mother's Day, verse 2 says, to Timothy, a beloved son. And I always, and it is true, it was Apostle Paul led Timothy, you know, in ministry. So obviously he thought of him as his son, in a sense. But man, when I read that now, I also believe that it's a beloved son. His family loved him. He was a son that his mom loved him, and his grandmother loved him, and I'm sure his father loved him. He was a son that was loved. And what a great feeling it is to know when your parents love you and are proud of you. I remember many, many, many years ago, I was still living in South Florida, and my mom and dad had visited my wife and I down in Florida, and they were on their way out. And so they were getting in the car. We were saying our goodbyes. And I'll never forget my dad giving me a hug and whispering in my ear, I'm so proud of you. It wrecked me. I wasn't expecting those words. But man, it is so nice to know that your parents are proud of you, that your parents love you, that you are precious to them. And you know the saying, children should be seen and not heard. Baloney. Let us hear them. I love kids playing. I love seeing and watching kids play around the property. You know, I don't want anybody to get hurt, but I wanted to remember the years when we used to have fun at church. Wow, wouldn't that be wonderful? For a testimony, say, man, you know, Leslie Duffy, she runs our children's ministry, and her four kids are here all the time. There's four. My wife likes to only focus on the girl. But they get themselves in all kinds of trouble here at the church. And I love it. I love it. They mark the walls. They write on the desks. The other day, the cleaning people were in. Can I show you something? We go to a chair. There's marker all over the chair. So the next time there, I go, do you mark on these chairs? No. I go, do you mark on these? Yes. I go, don't do that anymore. But to build those memories, to build those things, gosh, make God real to them, right? We're not this isn't a religion. You've got to lead your kids to believe in Jesus Christ. What an amazing honor that is. And you do that by setting an example. Timothy's faith was genuine. It was the same Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It was the same in his home. It was the same in the marketplace, when he was at the temple, when they were worshiping. His faith was evident, and Paul witnessed it. Paul saw it, and he knew where it came from. He knew the foundations were coming from a godly family. What amazing honor that is. And that came from, again, his mom. And what an interesting picture. If in fact, Timothy's family was a mixed family, right? A believer and perhaps a non-believer. And there's still that faith in the family. There's still that faith that Timothy grasped onto. And he loved that. Even though it was a mixed family, he believed in the truth of Jesus Christ. His dad was a good man. He was honored at the gate, it says in Acts chapter 6, from all the others. So he was a good man, but his mother was the one that taught him and influenced him in his faith as a child. Don't ever forget that. What an amazing legacy we see here. Three generations of faith: the grandmother, the mother, and the son. Pass it on, my friends. We're not here forever. We have to pass it on to our kids so that they can carry the baton and carry the truth of who Jesus Christ is in their hearts and in the world that they live in. We have to lead by example. Lead by example. 2 Timothy, I'm going to put it up here on the screen. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this: but you must continue, this is again Paul speaking to Timothy, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Paul saw the foundation that was laid in Timothy's life. He knew where it had come from. And he's telling him, don't forget those things that you learned. Don't forget the word of God, which is the foundation to help us, lead us to salvation. Lead us in this thing called life. Help us to get to the finish line so that when Christ calls us home, we are ready to be received. Praise God. We must be ready. Parents, and listen to me. It is not the church's responsibility to teach your children faith. We only get them for a very short period of time in 1 week. 2 hours maybe, if they come on Wednesday night, that's 4 hours maybe. You get them 168 hours of the week the rest of the time. Your job is to teach them about Jesus. Teach them about faith. We as a church reinforce your teachings. We reinforce the things of the word. You know, if you teach your kids about water baptism, then they can come to church and want to get water baptized. But it's not, don't leave it up to the church. Don't leave it up to the children's ministry to teach your kids about salvation. Teach them that at home. Help them to understand it. There is nothing greater than hearing a young child say they want Jesus in their heart, that they want Jesus in their life. And I've heard that from these kids of yours. They want Christ, not because what we've done here at church, but because what you guys are doing. When a parent comes up to you and says, my daughter wants to get baptized. When are you going to have your next baptism? I'm like, where did that come from? They're not sitting in here when we make announcements. They just want these things. I was told that at our Easter service, there were 8 children in there that gave their lives to the Lord as we gave the altar call at the end of the service. That's amazing. But that's not based on what we've done. We just lead them there. You've instilled that in them. You've poured it in. You've helped them to understand that. Because we, as a church, want them to know what it means to be saved. See, when I first got saved, I really didn't know what it was all about. I just knew I needed it. I just knew I wanted it. I felt something during that Easter service for myself. And I wanted it, and I learned. But we can teach them that when they're ready, they can receive Jesus Christ when they want to, when we want to. So what are you doing to help grow your faith so that your kids will witness it? That's so important. You can't just teach your kids to have faith. You got to have faith. So we'd lead by example. Take the time to show your kids what it means to read their Bibles, what it means to pray at night, what it means to put God in their life. Help them understand that. A mom showed up at a food trailer with her 6-year-old daughter. She asked if they could drop off some food. So they helped unload the car into the trailer of the food that they had brought. As it turns out, the little girl had just turned 6 years old the day before. And at her birthday party, she told her parents, "I don't want anyone to bring me gifts. I just want people to bring food so that we can give it to people in need." She's 6 years old. That doesn't just happen naturally. What 6-year-old kid says, "I don't want any presents"? Do your kids say that? Someone's does. No, I'm confident that the parents instilled to them a generous heart. And this little girl thought, "Well, at my birthday party, I don't need any gifts. I just want people to bring food." What an amazing thing that is, to instill in them this desire to be generous. And what a blessing that must be. Because it's not natural for a 6-year-old girl to want to do that. Here's a story. At a national park, at their national park's visiting center, there is a display of a pine tree. And next to the tree is a description of that tree. And during the first 5 years of this tree's life, it only grew to be about 1 foot tall in 5 years. But it goes on to describe that in those 5 years, the roots of that tree grew several feet into the ground, 4 to 10 feet into the ground. So that when that tree grew up and got older, those roots would help support the tree. If that's not a picture of what we have to do for our kids, to get their roots down deep. There is a mean, nasty world out there, and they need to know the truth so that they can stand that, because they're going to be persuaded to forsake their faith of their parents, forsake the things that were done because there's so much pressure in the world. But if their roots go deep, they'll take a stand. And that's what we must teach our kids, to take a stand. Let your kids' faith get deep, deep roots. Timothy became the man that he was due to his godly influence of his mother and grandmother. And they knew the reality of digging those roots deeply. Listen, we're here to help you. If you don't know how to do that, if you don't know how to do that with your kids, that's what the church is here for. Call us, we'll talk, we'll give you materials so you can help start to teach your kids. Teach them to do devotions. Teach them to read their Bibles. Teach them to rely on God. All of those things. And again, it has to be something that you're doing as well. Another scripture in Psalm 119 says, look at this. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's what we need to teach our kids. That's what we need to teach ourselves, is to hide the word of God in our hearts so that when life comes at us, it's the word of God that supports us and equips us, right? The whole armor of God, the helmet, the shield, the belt, the shoes, all of it, putting on God's word and understanding God's word so that when, again, the enemy attacks, we're able to uphold and stand against the things of the enemy. This is what we teach our kids. How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word. You're not going to be able to stand strong if the word of God isn't in there. And that's why we, at church, that's why we say, spend time in the word of God, get the word of God in you, and the Holy Spirit's job is to remind you of the scriptures during the time of need in your life. Do you love God's word? Do you love it? A lot of the songs that we sing are literally scriptures out of the Bible, because that's where life is, right? The life is in the word of God. The word of God is a light unto our path and directs and guides our instructions. So we have to stay in the word, and we have to teach it to our kids. One other thing that I know can be difficult for parents and for moms specifically is letting your kids go, handing them over to God and trusting him in his care. Timothy's mother trained up her son so that he had genuine faith, and then she trusted him to the Lord. Guys, that is a huge trust factor, isn't it? God, take care of my babies. But she knew that Timothy belonged to God first and her second. What a reality that is. They belong, we all belong to the Lord. We get to enjoy relationships here, family relationships here, but we all belong to God. And he's the one that tells us where to go, what to do, and how to do it. And this family was trusting in Timothy. It wasn't like Timothy went on a missions trip with Paul and then, Timothy, get home quick, because I want you home. No, she didn't. She said, God, he's yours. And he, the amazing things that he and Paul did would probably put fear in the heart of a mother if she didn't have trust in God, if she didn't trust her life in his hands and her son's life in his hands. Do you trust your kids' lives under the authority of Jesus Christ? That's the best place to put it. That's the best place to put them. Don't put them in the world. Put them in the hands of God. Because Timothy's mother knew that if Timothy was in God's hands, then the best Timothy would have been produced in his life. The best of us come out when we are doing what the Lord calls us to do and equips us to do. If we keep things close, if we hold things to ourselves, God can't use them. But if we give them over to the Lord, they can blossom and they can make a big impact. And Timothy made a huge impact. And I'm not saying your kids are all going to become pastors, but maybe one of your children will be a pastor one day. Maybe they will serve the Lord on mission field. Maybe they will create something that helps hunger in the world. Who knows what the Lord's going to do? Even if they just become a faithful husband to their spouse, to their wife, or a faithful dad to their families, wow, that's success, my friends. That's success. So plant those seeds in your children's hearts. Plant them. Let God do the work that only he can do. Because the last thing that happened for the mom and the grandmother was witnessing the fruit of their labor. Think about how they must have seen Timothy as a missionary, as a pastor, teaching the word of God, being used by the Lord, seeing amazing miracles being done in his midst. What a reward they must have had. We instilled these biblical truths, we led them to Christ, and look what his life has become. There is no greater reward than to see your children living a healthy, happy, wonderful life of faith. And to me, that means you're a successful mom if they're walking with the Lord. And if they're not, it just causes you to pray all the harder, isn't it? Listen, we all go astray. There's no guarantees. You can pour into your kids and pour into your kids, and they can give their lives to Christ, and they can water baptize, and they can do all these things, and they can still walk away. We still have sin nature in our hearts. We all walk away. But hopefully, when they get to the end of themselves, they remember, Mom prayed for me. They remember that time you spent with them and poured into them and said, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. And hopefully their eyes open. That is a mom that makes an impact. Making an impact in your kids makes an impact in this church and in this world. Don't give up. Keep on going. Ask for God's help, and we're here to pray with you and help you in any way we can. That's what we do. The last thing I want to look at, verse 6. We read it, but I want to say it. Paul says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. It's important to realize that we've all been gifted by God, and we need to stir up those gifts in us and stir up the gifts in our children. And then lastly, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has equipped us, guys, to fight the tough battles. And moms, you have a tough battle to fight, but you're not in this alone. You're in this with a family who loves you, a church who loves you, and God who is in you. So trust in him. May God bless your Mother's Day. May you have a wonderful time with your family. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, as always, Lord, for the power of your word. And God, I thank you so much for a godly man like Timothy that is evidence of a faithful mother and a faithful grandmother who loved you, Lord, and who walked with you, who gave their lives to you. And the amazing fruit that was produced in his life. God, I pray that for all of us, Lord, that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit. That when life gets tough, you're tougher. That when we feel discouraged, you're there to lift us up. There's always hope in you. There's always hope in Jesus Christ. And we thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit that lives in us. May we be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. May we be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. May we listen to the Holy Spirit. Maybe for some moms or even parents in this room, there has to be some hard conversations that they have to have with their kids. But God, I pray that you would season those conversations with grace, that they would speak the truth in love as a parent, and that you would bless their families, keep their children safe, God. If they have kids that aren't saved, God, I pray that they would come to know you. I pray that they would come to that place in their lives where they surrender their will for your will. What an amazing testimony it would be that for all the moms in this room, that their children would walk with the Lord all the days of their lives. And God, if they do stray, draw them back. Lovingly bring them back into the fold, just like you do with the lost sheep. God, go out and find them, bring them back. Those prodigal sons and daughters, Lord, bring them back into the family of God. Bring them to a place where they surrender and cry out to you, because we know you'll be there. Bless every mother. Bless this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.